This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with the webmaster. That, of course, is Evan Jenkins, and we're here talking drafts, prospects, and the future. And you know what? The NFL draft is bigger than anything. And while it's no longer the Lions Super Bowl, it's in Detroit this year. And the Lions, this is a key draft for them. They've got a few issues. And the one issue that really stands out is the secondary. How do the Lions improve their secondary? Yet we have the draft, and Brad Holmes is always telling us, well, you know, you always take the best player available and all that. Yeah, but you know what? You got all your positions filled except for outside corner, and you got a couple guys plugging it in, and he hasn't drafted corners. He's only taken two in the draft. One of them is their starting safety, Milan Fonwu, and the other one was a seventh-round draft pick, Chase Lucas, who I don't think is going to start for him. So they obviously need corners. It's obviously a deep draft in corners. I don't think there's any way they don't draft corners. And I've seen a lot of three-round mock drafts that don't have the Lions taking a corner. Quite frankly, if they don't take a corner in the first three rounds, it would be irresponsible regardless of. And I appreciate Brad Holmes explaining the draft and their philosophy, and it's obviously worked. But they better get some damn corners. What do you think, Kevin?
I think the Lions are in such a unique position that, let's be honest, you or I really haven't seen before, that they need to do whatever they can right now because they have the capital. And I think their window is as wide open as it's ever been to compete for a Super Bowl, but try to get one of those top three corners that are in the draft right now, because you're right. If you could solidify one position in this draft, it is corner. Now, did they have, you know, some bad luck with Cam Sutton and all everything that happened there? Yes. But if you remember correctly, at the end of last year, fans were over Cam Sutton, and it seemed like the team wasn't even all behind Cam Sutton.
Well, Cam Sutton was terrible. It is an example of how you overpay for players, in, especially cornerbacks, in NFL free agency. It always sounds great on free agent signing. We got it with Carlton Davis III here now.
Yep,
exactly. He's an excellent man-to-man corner. You know, and he may turn out to be okay. He definitely has some talent, but he's always hurt. You know, it's like that. There's always a flaw with those guys. You know,
yes.
To get a corner, you know, like people talk about the Texans. Texans got Derek Stingley. So their cornerback situation is really good. You know, you have to draft them at some point, you know.
And I think you're wrong.
They think of Jeff Okuda and, you know, some other things. So.
Yeah, and you got to get over the past. And, I mean, I still struggle with that sometimes too, where I say, well, do it again, and I'll really believe. But I think you're in a unique position that, listen, they had, what, 2 years in a row where they had multiple first-round picks, and they really stepped up their team. But then you go look at what they did in the second round, and they got Brian Branch, a kid from Alabama who's now playing nickel. Brad Holmes also went to the Alabama Pro Day. It sure seems like he likes himself some Alabama players, whether it's Gibbs or Jameson Williams or Branch, like I had just mentioned, that whether it's Kool-Aid McKinstry or this Turner kid or whatever it might be, you are in a unique position. And also, I don't think a corner is going to go until about, what would you say, Pat, 15 to 20 range will be the first one. And you don't have to give up that much capital necessarily to even move up. And I'm also not against giving up future picks if you can solidify your team right here, right now.
Well, here's the thing. The way I look at the corners, all right? there's three of them that I think are outstanding talents. Obviously, Quinion Mitchell. I mean, when you run that fast and you're that productive and you're that big and you dominate against top competition at the Senior Bowl practices, and nobody can do anything against that kid. The other one is Terrion Arnold from Alabama.
Arnold, that's the kid I was talking about. Yes, I said Turner.
Well, you got Turner, the edge rusher.
DJ Turner. Yeah.
And then you have the Cooper DeJean from Iowa.
I like him. I watched his basketball highlights, by the way, Pat. Unbelievable. He had, like, flies. Like, I've never seen somebody jump easily like he does.
Yeah, he's very quick off the ground.
It's amazing.
He was a remarkably productive player, too, at Iowa. And so he's a freak. He's a freakish athlete. And so is Quinion Mitchell. Arnold is not as big and fast, the combination, but he's so fluid and so instinctive. I really like his game. And McKinstry, I didn't like that much, but I talked to a few people who said I was misguided, who know what they're talking about. We'll leave it at that. And then I started to look at it a little differently. He mimics receivers extraordinarily well. He's got that ability to stay with them and their moves, you know, not to get caught in different positions. So while he, you know, at times seemed underwhelming there, actually he's a pretty good player. And that's not necessarily coming from my observation, but from people that I respect and talk to. So I would say the probably four of them. What I think may be the case is that there's a couple corners who are going to be better than maybe some of those guys that may fall to the line at 29. I've talked about him before. I'll talk about him here in the draft. It's TJ Tampa from Iowa State. The guy's built, it almost looks like the way he plays fits Lions absolutely perfectly. He's a big corner who can jam receivers at the line, and he high points the ball well. He has enough speed. He's a 4-5 runner. He negates whatever speed advantage he's got going against him with his physicality, and he can hit. He can set the edge too against the run. Like somebody like Wiggins, I don't like that kind of corner on the outside, because when he comes up to tackle, he's 173 pounds. They're going to have to pick him up with a broom and a dustpan. You know, after one of those guards or tight ends hit him, a lot of teams trap with their tight ends now.
Yeah.
So just looking at it, I'm not sold on Nate Wiggins. I also like Kamari Lassiter from Georgia. And I think the most underrated prospect among the corners is Max Melton from Rutgers. He was a very good college player. His brother, Bo, is an NFL player with Green Bay. And you run a sub 4.44, you're a productive player, you're 6 feet tall, and you play cornerback, you're going to be pretty good in the NFL, I think. So he's probably the underrated one. So when I look at the corners, those are the guys that I like a lot. And I just the narrative that they won't take a corner, they have to take a corner. You have to address that position.
I thought you said something interesting about the edges there. And the reason I bring this up is the Lions really solidified the interior of their defensive line with getting DJ Reader this offseason. And that led me to wonder, teams are smart enough not to run at your strength, right? So they're going to try to go at your weakness. And is right now, are the edges of the Lions defense their weakness?
Yeah,
I know you have Aiden on one side.
Yeah.
Pascal is kind of unproven.
You're talking about against the run.
Yes.
Right? I mean, obviously, this is the way the Lions are right now. They're plus running the football. They're plus with their offensive line, both pass protection and that. They got a plus tight end. Their receiving core is a plus. Their passing game, They're stopping the run is a plus. They stop the run very well. They're a big minus.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Defending the pass. And it's not pass rush, it's secondary. So if you're saying the point about like they at the edge, corner is a weakness. Their corners did not tackle well last year. All right. And to your point. But it's made up because they have Branch that helps them a lot with that in the slot, and their linebackers are rangy. Anzalone roams sideline to sideline. He's a way better athlete than people think. Jack Campbell, same thing, you know, late in the year. Barnes, very good at that. So they get away with some stuff because their linebackers are rangy. And Hutch is good against the run. It plays every snap. Yeah. So that helps them on the one side. But they need an edge at that other side. I mean, obviously they signed Davenport. But this draft does present some interesting players. It's just not – the players aren't what the reputation – like, Gerard Verse is more of a powerful player than a straight edge you can rush. They don't need Chop Robinson type of guy who's like 250, 55 pounds, runs fast, but isn't necessarily stout against the run. The kid Robinson from Canton High School – and Missouri, if he were taken at that pick, that would be a very good pick for the Lions. And you, like I said, it's a deep draft for corners. There's a number of players. We did a column on the players could be the next Amon-Ra St. Brown. There's a couple corners that fall in that category. One I mentioned, Jarvis Brownlee from Louisville, but there's a couple others who, if you scout right, do the right things, you can get later on in the draft and still get the same value as maybe those guys who were on the first round. You know, Lions are obviously pretty good at scouting things. So that would be the type of player. You need a three-down player there, though. You don't want especially when you got James Houston to bring in for situations.
Yeah, well, they did bring back. I have an interesting question because it seems like Brad Holmes in the first round has really figured it out. Last year we looked at the draft, and I know you can't comment on the draft right away because it's faux pas to Brad Holmes and some of these writers.
You can say whatever you want. I don't care what Brad Holmes says.
Well, no, I know. We work in a business that's instant reaction, right? And if we just said, well, it's late for 3 years, I mean, then we're talking about crap that doesn't even matter. But what if they were to take like a Ladd McConkey with number 29? With another position of sexiness, I guess you could say.
You know what? I wouldn't have a problem with it. Ladd McConkey doesn't necessarily make sense for them. I think he can play outside receiver. He's an exceptional player. He's very fast. But I think his value is kind of like in a
slot type deal.
Yeah, like playing what Amon-Ra St. Brown does. So, but there are some receivers that could – one of them is Keon Coleman, the kid that was at Michigan State who can possibly get deep and be an outside receiver. You know, mm-hmm. there are a lot of good receivers that might fall to them. And if they took an outside receiver, I wouldn't – it would be an indictment on Jameson Williams, don't you think?
I do, but I just know that they're going to try to replace Josh Reynolds. And what I see from Brad Holmes is he likes the player that he thinks is going to help. When we looked at Jahmyr Gibbs last year after them just signing David Montgomery, where it was a little perplexing. But then at the end of the year, you saw Gibbs running like a madman and everything worked out perfectly. And it might have been the perfect storm last year. It's so interesting because – I have no idea what Brad Holmes is going to do. Like, would you be surprised if they dropped down and moved out of the first round to get more capital?
No,
for later
I wouldn't at all. Actually, that may make the most sense. Of course, everybody be sitting there holding the bag, waiting all night. you know, getting liquored up downtown, and then their pick comes up, and it's like, and he's been traded. Then the next day, they got to do it.
Well, because I could see a quarterback like a Michael Penix falling, or a Bo Nix that a team really likes, kind of like Lamar Jackson that one year, and trading up to get that guy before the end of the first round. Because
and those corners,
with quarterbacks, you get that extra year.
Those corners and receivers. And, you know, now that you mention it, actually, Evan, I think you make a real good point about Ladd McConkey. Because, you know, I'm looking at it as, okay, they need an outside receiver. They've got a real good inside receiver. But, you know, Josh Reynolds, if you get Josh Reynolds plus at that other slot, the way their offense moves and the kind of the rhythm and how they use the middle of the field, that may very well be a scheme-related fit. And he's a really good player.
He
wouldn't be overdrafted if he were taken 29th overall, or they traded down and took him in the early in the second round. And as you know, last year, I didn't have a problem with what Brad Holmes did at the time in the draft.
Right.
I thought it was, you know, I mean, when we talked about it afterward, I appreciate what he does. It's just the thing is this year it's a little different because they're not drafting early. They don't have like the Rams pick, you know, like they did last year. They almost got to the Super Bowl. They got the 29th pick. And, you know, they're no longer just trying to gather talent. You know, they're trying to put finishing pieces on, and that does lead to a different dynamic in the draft. Now, you don't want to, the thing is about this draft is I think he can have his cake and eat it too, because I think you can get corners and not be stretching. And you can do it in a number of different ways. It could be third round, second round, you know, but you got to do it within the early in the draft.
Don't you expect them to take multiple corners this year?
Yes, I do.
Just to your point, to just strengthen their weakest point, because I think we can all agree if it's not kicker, which might not even be a weak point if you look at his stats, but corner would be the Lions' weakest point if you're a team looking to attack them.
Yeah, yeah, without question. I mean, in their division too, with the you're looking at Jordan Love coming on. Look at the receivers Minnesota has with Jefferson and
Addison.
And, you know, if Hockenson's back with his knee, and you look at if Chicago's going to be a little better, they'll probably take some receivers. We'll have to see. And they're going to be – you got to have corners, man. You can't be out there, you know, like that. Aaron Glenn has, you know, split the fish and divided the loaves for a couple years here. And he does have a strength now, and his front seven is really good now. But you can't just keep doing that over and over again. And people are misconstrued their whole thing. They think, well, get an edge rusher, and then all of a sudden, you know, no, man, it's not going to work with that. We pressure comes from how many players you bring. You know, if you bring, five players or six players, that's when you get pressure. Nobody, no team can rush the passer with just four guys. All right? That's not going to work. The numbers don't work there. It's 4-on-5. Okay, do you understand that?
You go look at stats at the end of a year. Let's say a guy has 16 sacks, it's considered an incredible year. That's not even a sack a game. So to your point, you're exactly correct. And now people talk about pressures, which I consider the equivalent of a hard hit baseball to the third baseman. You know, like, yeah, you did it, but you didn't get home. So what does it really do?
Well, and pressure does help your secondary because the quarterback will get rid of it quickly. And the Lions have to guess all the time now. They're guess hitters. You know, they'll send Millen Fonwu or Branch or somebody on a blitz, one of the linebackers. And, but they can't cover 5 with 7. All right? They can't cover 5 with 7. And that's a problem. They can't cover 5 with 7.
Now, let's eliminate kicker, punter, quarterback. Would any other position surprise you in the first round for the Lions? Like tight end or something?
Yeah, tight end would surprise me. I don't see a tight end that I would take, for one thing.
Well, unless, you know, like Brock Bowers falls to 29.
Well, then if Brock Bowers falls to him, I'd take him. Then I would say, go like the Patriots when they had Hernandez and Gronkowski. I mean, Brock
Bowers.
It worked
out pretty good for him.
Yeah, not ultimately, but you know, in terms of what they did on the field.
For a period of time, it did.
For a period of time, it was and it fits their offense, you know, because the Lions like to run tighter formations. They like to run double tight ends. Would create matchup disaster. But I don't see another tight end that I would take in the first round other than Bowers. But if he fell, that would be one of those like, hey, man, you give it, I'll take it.
Yeah, that's a luxury. What about offensive line? Do you think they need to get more depth there?
Yeah, they got to draft some interior offensive linemen, and they may take one in the first round.
Like, would you prefer to be a guy that could play guard and center?
Because there's two guys that could fall to them. One of them is Graham Barton, who we've talked about at nauseam. He's a perfect fit for them. I don't know if he's going to make it there, but you know he can play tackle too. And then Jimmy Powers, Johnson Jackson, or whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah, the guy from Oregon. Yep,
our brand manager. You know,
it just Frank Ragnow.
Jackson Powers Jackson. Yeah,
I feel like he could retire any year, Frank Ragnow. You know what I mean? With how beat up his body is, and just the way he talks about it, and it just worries me because he is arguably one of the top three centers in the entire NFL. And if you can really have that strength of the O-line, because they do like to run Montgomery up the middle, Gibbs hitting the seams, and that's what really, I think, makes their offense go, is that you don't know what the hell is coming.
Powers Jackson is a really good player.
Yeah. No, he is.
You know, he's exceptional. You can plug him in, and he'll start for you. He'll push whoever you got start. You know, and that Zettler is going to, you know, supposedly still got a lot left in the tank, and he may very well play pretty well for the Ravens, but – you know, that's a player that if you had to put him in, he would play well. Same with Graham Barton. There's another player that I like for them, and I don't know if he'll be there in the second round, but it's Christian Hayes from Connecticut. I like him a lot. He came out last year. And, of course, Beebe, from Kansas State. Those two kids could have came out last year and probably been early round draft picks. So they stayed one more year. They got a year stronger. And they're guys that you could put in right now in interior line. The thing with Powers, Jackson, and Barton, that's different. Powers, Jackson, you know, the difference between those two is that they can play center. And I don't think BB or Hayes would be centers. But there are good guys in that space, you know, that space that the Lions tend to own, you know, where they run those traps and they do different things. They're mobile enough to do that. So, you know, there's some fits there for the Lions at that spot. So, but anyway,
I want to ask, I want to ask one narrow-minded question. Should the Lions be drafting more for this year and next? I know usually teams draft for the future and to build it up, but if the Lions window is right here, right now, and opened a little sooner, do they need to draft concerning more for this team this year than they do the future?
I think they can have their cake and eat it too.
Okay.
I think they're in that.
But like I'm saying, like their first round pick, does he need to start from day one?
No.
Okay. I guess that was a better way for me to ask it.
No. But if you look, you know, Campbell eventually was a starter, right? Branch was a starter from day one. Laporta was a starter from day one. Mm-hmm. Gibbs was a starter from day one. Basically, I mean, you're rotating running backs. Amon-Ra St. Brown was a starter from day one. I mean, so when you get rookies, they should be prepared. You know the difference between this sport, the NFL, and this is where a lot of confusion comes in, some of the things that I talk about otherwise, is that you know after 4 years whether a guy can play.
Sure.
You know when that second – you know whether he's going to be a good player or not. In other sports, you're just starting to figure out whether they're going to be good players. And that's the difference in the league. So, they need immediate help from their draft picks. You should always anticipate that regardless of where you're at. But they have a good team, so they don't necessarily need that. Even at cornerback – you know, they've got at least one veteran, you know, that should be able to start for them. But injury – that position, there's always injuries. And if they've thrown Vildor out there and, I don't know, they're expecting Emmanuel Mosley to come back and all that.
I don't get that one.
They would be in a lot better shape. And Alexander's a good pesky player. People are going to like him. Or not Alexander, Robertson is a very good player. But, you know, people are going to, you know, he's not an outside corner. I mean, 5'9" or what he's pesky. Make a long story short, it would help you a lot if you had a rookie you can start for you, like Branch did last year.
Right. Perfect.
So, but anyway, enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to subscribe to us on the Google Play Store, the Apple iTunes Store. Download us on Odyssey.com. Give us thumbs up, like us, give us good reviews, all that stuff. We're here a couple times a week, and this is our time of the season. All kinds of drafts coming up, and the Mac Daddy of them all coming up right now, the NFL Draft, and it's here in Detroit. So, till next time, we'll see you.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.